Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. With me is Ro Crosby. She is the founder, CEO, and president of Tarot International. And we're going to talk about something that all of us perhaps could utilize, some tips when it comes to time management. Ro, welcome to the Business News Hour. Always a pleasure to see you.
It is always a delight to be here, Michael.
We visited email-ish, and you had a couple of topics you wanted to talk about. And I saw this one come up, and the next one that we're going to talk about as well. And I'm going, what timely things these are for all of us who are finding ourselves coming and going and burning the candle at all ends. Time management. What do you got?
Well, we teach classes in this, so I could spend a couple of days on it. But what I thought I might do is debunk a myth around time management and then share six tips that all of your listeners can choose from and apply immediately.
Let's go.
So shall we debunk a myth
first? Yes. What is the great myth about time management?
Multitasking.
Oh, really?
A casual Google search of multitasking is going to reveal millions of websites that are going to tell you how to do that well. Employers look for it. People brag about their abilities to multitask. And it turns out it's a recipe not just for slowing us down. It increases the stress hormone cortisol in our system, which is the weight gaining one. It doesn't work. Would you like to do a little experiment with me here? Hopefully we can articulate what we're doing here since we don't have any visual contact with your listeners. I'm going to have you, and I'm going to use my phone to time you. This is a timed activity.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's going to be great.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is always so fun because I never know what's going to come out of the hat.
Okay, here we go. Right. I'm going to time you, and you are going to, as quickly as you can, don't start until I say go, print all the letters of the alphabet, A, B, C, D, all the way to Z.
Okay.
On your mark, get set, go.
What Ro's doing is counting down the seconds, and she's watching her phone, making sure that I'm doing the right thing by writing down exactly what she told me.
Excellent. That was 13 seconds. Now, underneath that, you're going to print the numbers 1 to 26. So 1, 2, 3, all the way to 26. On your mark, get set, go.
And one more time. Here we go with this time numbers 1 through 26. Ro is timing me as I do this exercise, and she's going to let us know here in just a second how long it took me to be successful.
And that was 16 seconds. Excellent work. You did a nice job. You feeling okay?
Yeah, I guess.
All right. Now we're going to multitask. Oh. So you're going to go A1, B2, C3, D4, all the way to Z26. On your mark, get set, go.
Wait a minute.
You're squawking already, Michael.
Yeah. A1, B2, C3. D4.
No. He's given up. You're giving up at 17 seconds. When you did those two tasks individually, the first one took you 13 seconds. The second one took you 16. So that was a total of 29 seconds. When you gave up on D4, that was 18 seconds.
Yeah.
That's what happens when we try to multitask. Our brains are built for focus. And if we have to keep going back and forth, that creates stress. It was very fun, actually, watching you do that. And we do this with large groups of people.
Oh, this
is an activity we do in keynote presentations. And the room erupts in laughter. And even the people that stick with it, it takes them almost a minute or often longer than a minute. And they make mistakes. And they know the alphabet. They know the numbers. But when you have to keep shifting, and that's what we do when we keep interrupting ourselves all day long when we do multitasking.
Got it. Wow. There is a myth, ladies and gentlemen, to multitasking. My dear departed mother used to call it megatasking. I said, what does that mean, Mom? And she said, stick to one thing, megatask. I said, okay.
That was good advice from your mother. Yeah. Now, people will often say, well, can't I walk and chew gum? Yes, you can. But one of those tasks is really done, actually both of them, unconsciously. And as long as you're using different parts of your brain, you can do that. So you can drive your car and carry on a conversation.
Sure.
And that's doing two things at the same time. But if you were in bad weather, you would have to concentrate on the driving, so you would stop the conversation. When you're, writing, and like you just did here, that's using the same communication center of your brain. When you're trying to do email and also be on the phone with someone, using the communication center of your brain, and you miss things.
You
know, the TV thing scrolling across the bottom. I wish I could influence those guys and say, lose the bottom third, because you're stressing out your viewers because they've got to listen plus read.
Yeah.
And we can't do that.
You know, this is a fabulous exercise. It does prove the fact that, you know, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right.
So one thing at a time. That's the solution for that myth.
Got it.
Then I've got a few really specific time management tips. A couple of them we can go through very quickly.
Sure.
One is called Live Your Life on Purpose. And that's where you start to become conscious of how you're spending your time. We encourage people to keep a time log, live their life in 15-minute increments, and study that. And you can do it just for your work day if you're trying to improve your work productivity, or you can do it at home too. It's remarkable how bad we are as humans at guessing how long something's going to take.
Yes.
And I know for myself, I'll complain that I spent the whole weekend doing laundry, and actually the washer and dryer might have spent the whole weekend doing that. I probably spent a total of 15 minutes on it. But things we don't like to do feel like they're taking a long time, and then time flies for the things we love. So that's a good way to find out where you're procrastinating, where are you misjudging time.
A time log.
A time log. So live your life in 15-minute increments.
Hmm.
Second tip is to focus on the critical few. We're all familiar with Vilfredo Pareto and the 80-20 rule. So 80% of the value of a group of activities comes from 20% of the activities. So said another way, we're wasting 4/5 of our day.
Right.
So,
have you been following me around? I feel as though there's a camera in my office. All right.
Exactly. Which, you know, how do we figure out what's most important? I'm going to share a story with you. And this is, it's called the 6 Most Important Things list. I don't know if you've heard of this. It dates back to the early 1900s when Charles Schwab was the president of Bethlehem Steel. And he consulted with Ivy Lee, who was an efficiency expert. And Ivy Lee said, if you give me just 15 minutes with each of your executives, I can change your productivity around here. And Schwab apparently was reported to have pulled out a drawer out of his desk, says, I've got all these efficiency tips. What are you going to tell me that's different from what I've heard? He says, just give me 15 minutes with each executive. And then then Schwab, of course, you know, shrewd businessman, said, what's it going to cost?
Right.
He says, nothing unless it works.
Ah.
So check back with me in 90 days. So he spent 15 minutes with each executive, and he instructed them at the end of every day before they left their work to write down the 6 most important things they had to do the next day, and then prioritize them in order from first, second, all the way through. Then the next day, they would come in and go through that list in order and cross things off as they finished it. If they couldn't get something done, they could go to the next item on the list. And at the end of the day, if there was anything still on the list, you put it on the list for the next day. 90 days later, 3 months later, Schwab sent Ivy Lee a check for $25,000.
Yeah.
And that's at a time when the average American worker was making 56 cents an hour. So that was an enormous amount of money, but it apparently changed productivity. So that simple thing of just writing down 6 things at the end of every day and concentrating on that, and that's the critical few.
I know there is a camera in my office now. Because I do this.
You do?
I do every single day. I am so old school, Ro, that I have, they were called day timers. They're a 2-page per day thing.
you know, calendars.
Oh, yeah, we used to rebuy those.
Yeah, and I have them going back to 1985.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do every single day, there is a list prioritized of what I have to do that day. And, yeah, it helps because we do get so busy with our time that we can be taken off track so easily.
Yes.
So easily. And so, yeah, good tip.
It is a great tip. And, you know, we teach this stuff, and yet often we don't follow those habits ourselves. But when I start feeling overwhelmed, I go to the 6 most important things list.
Got it. Tip number 3.
Stop doing major tasks yourself. Unless you
delegate,
love them.
Huh?
Oh, my gosh. Either delegate it or hire it out. There's so many ways to outsource. There's lots of gig workers out there. If you absolutely love cleaning your house, by all means, clean your house. I've got a friend that's how she releases stress. And it's an activity that you get immediate feedback on. I don't happen to be her. But, you know, I love gardening.
Yes.
And so if you've got something that's time-consuming but you love it, do it yourself. But if there's anything on your list that you value that's important to you but you don't like doing, hire someone to do it or delegate it to somebody else. We get all caught up in thinking we should do everything ourselves, and we're not doing ourselves or anyone any favors.
Delegate. I like it. Yeah. I need somebody to clean my office, as a matter of fact. Okay. Number 4.
Actually, that one was number 4.
Oh.
So our first one was live life on purpose. Second one was focus on the critical few, the 80-20. The third one was the 6 most important things list. Fourth was stop doing major tasks
Got
yourself.
It. All right.
Fifth is learn to say no. Many of us are not very good at that. And one bit of advice I received that helped me was every time you say yes, you are saying no to something.
Yes.
And so if we can keep that in mind. The other thing is if we're going to say yes, it's wise to set boundaries around it. That yes, I will serve on that committee with these boundaries. So that we don't end up getting drug into things that are occupying time that we don't have available to give.
And you know about this.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have served on so many boards and commissions, right?
Oh, my gosh. I'm serving on 7 boards right now, and I promised myself I'd only serve on 2. But you get excited. I do love it. So that's helpful. But it is a big time commitment, and so we've got to make choices. Another piece of advice that I heard that I really, really like is if you have trouble saying no when someone asks you to do something, find something you can say yes to.
Hmm.
So I do continue to get invitations to serve on boards, and I just can't do it. But I hate saying no, especially to some of these charitable organizations that I really like to support. So I will say, I'm sorry, I have to say no to accepting an invitation to serve on your board. But I can say yes to making a few calls for your fundraiser, or I can make a donation. So I'm saying yes, but not getting myself wrapped into what the original ask was.
Wise.
You've probably had that same situation yourself.
I have it every day, as a matter of fact. You know, sitting on the city council, doing work with a congregation, and all of that, what that includes, their personal lives and struggles and things, and then a couple of other jobs. So, yeah. I get it.
Yeah, and it's hard for us because all of us want to say yes when we're asked to do something, and yet we're then saying no to other priorities in our life, and sometimes the people that are most important to us, that's where
right.
we're robbing the time from.
All right.
Okay, I saved the one with all the research for last.
Research, of course, because tarot does everything.
Yes, we certainly, we did our own research on multitasking, and you proved the point very quickly in about 14 seconds.
Right.
Interruptions.
Hmm.
So I'm going to have you guess, just take a wild guess, and I'll invite our listeners to do the same thing. What is the average number of interruptions do you think you get in an average work day?
30.
Okay. Now multiply that number by 23.
Really?
Yes. Actually, it's 23 minutes and 15 seconds is what the research says. That's the lost concentration
Wow.
you have with each interruption. So when we just quickly send that quick text that took less than a minute, it actually cost us 23 minutes in lost productivity and concentration.
So what's the, this interesting point. So then if we are to send texts or messages or emails, and this is what I do, I don't sit on my email 24/7. I compartmentalize that.
Yes.
Morning, midday, evening.
That, I'm so glad you brought that up, Michael, because that was one of the tips I would have loved to share, and I didn't have it. I have it on the list, but I didn't think we'd have time. We call that batching activities.
Yes.
And to just choose a few times a day to check your email. I have some research for you on email. The researcher here to give credit is a person named Gloria Mark from UC Irvine. And she's been studying this whole interruption thing for many years. The average person checks their email 74 times a day. So if you can batch that as you do, that's a wonderful time management technique. And they found some people check it 435 times a day. The average email apparently gets seen in less than 6 seconds upon it coming in. And actually, I think that's true, because if I've got my device sitting next to me, you see the little thing, and you might not read the whole thing, but you read the subject line, and there's another interruption.
How wise.
Yes.
Batching activities.
Batching activities. A couple other bits on the research from Dr. Mark. In 2004, the human beings that we are, we used to switch activities every 3 minutes and 5 seconds. By 2016, our average attention had dropped to 40 seconds.
Mm.
There's some conflict in the research on how many interruptions we get a day, but the range is we get interrupted every 3 to 8 minutes. So that's a pretty big span, but that equals 60 to 160 interruptions in an ordinary workday. Here's what's interesting. Here's what's most interesting about those interruptions. Half of them are self-inflicted.
Yes.
We're interrupting ourselves. And the self-interruptions go up when we're surrounded by other people. So these beautiful open office concepts that have been designed to promote collaboration are actually increasing self-interruptions by 64%.
Which is, it's interesting too. Now that so many executives are saying we must return to the office for collaboration purposes, but one of the other things on the other side of that shows that working from home, working in your own space, not having that commute, not costing you $60 a day, is actually more productive.
It is if you're working on individual activities.
Yeah.
It most certainly is, based on everything we've talked about here. You can focus. You won't interrupt yourself as often. You can do laundry. But not everything we do is done in isolation.
Correct.
You know, if you work in an organization, you're probably needing to collaborate. And if you're not available or visible, you might be losing out on promotion activities.
That's right.
And promotion opportunities. So I've got four tips for you on limiting interruptions. First one is to set time aside for focus. And that's actually what you're doing with your batching of activities. It's just say, I'm going to do emails these times of the day. Or if you're most productive in the morning, get to the desk 30 minutes early. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how much you can crank out in 30 minutes when you aren't having any interruptions, if that's your productive time of the day. The second tip is to turn off the notifications on the computers and the devices so that we don't see every text message, every CNN update, every email coming in. The third one is to take some mastery of those self-interruptions. And instead of keeping popping up to go refresh coffee, schedule them for yourself when it's time for a well-deserved break because you've had a period of focus time. And the fourth one, for people that are working in community with others, you know, maybe these open
sure.
concept things, talk to your colleagues and come up with some code on, you know, if you're not interruptible, maybe you put a flag on your desk that indicates I'm interruptible or I'm not interruptible. And if we can collaborate with others to agree how we're going to interrupt one another, that helps with everyone's productivity.
Every single one of these tips are masterfully done. And you know, it could change somebody's, not only their business, but also their life.
The downside of being overwhelmed and unproductive, there are health consequences, both physical and mental health. You are so right. This is a game changer. And everything we've talked about here, I'm not going to say it's easy because it's changing habits, but we can do this and we don't even have to spend a dollar to do
right.
it. We can choose to just choose one of those tips that we talked about and try it out for a few months and see how it goes.
Time management, ladies and gentlemen, with Ro Crosby. Ro, thank you so very much for this. This is priceless for so many people. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
That, again, is the voice of Ro Crosby, the founder, president, and CEO of Tarot International. And yes, we will have links to Tarot up on the radio blog. And that's a wrap for this edition of the Business News Headlines. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now was arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Ro Crosby, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe. Be well. Be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.